As his eyes turned, there was a whirring sound. When they stopped, silence. Charles Edgar Phantom, he thought. Retired astronaut of distinction. He shook his head. He had asked where he was, not who he was. He felt dopey, drugged. A hint of fear threatened rational thought. Recovering from an operation? The room was white, brightly lit. It could be a theater. But there were twinkling lights all around him, as if he had been thrown into the middle of a starfield. Far-flung Phantom, they had called him, with Saturn, Neptune, and Pluto safely tucked under his belt. An astronaut, yes. But where am I now? He raised his eyes to the ceiling and once again heard the whirring sound. Should he try to stand? The room was becoming clearer as he gradually adjusted to the various depths of field, and he felt an abrupt urge to explore. Old habits die hard. He decided to stand, but found he couldn't. Nothing happened. He tried to call out. No sound found its way to his ears. Phantom's eyes turned, and he caught his reflection in a shiny console. A sinister numbness seized his mind, but there was no nerve-tingling shock. But hell, there should have been. The reflection did not show a human face, but the unemotional features of a robotic head. The Norse don't have one specific belief for what happens after death. Some believe that those who passed would travel on to the underworld. Fallen soldiers of great courage would end up in Valhalla, while others who passed might end up in hell. Some believe in reincarnation among their family lineages. Others believe that when you pass, you simply pass and nothing happens. Whatever the belief, one thing is for certain. It's different from the traditional or Christianity view of the afterlife. First, there isn't a set heaven and hell. This promotes the idea that you should spend your life in pursuit of a rewarding afterlife or trying to avoid the punishment of a tormenting afterlife. The Norse don't believe in living your life based on the potential consequences of the afterlife. Instead, they believe you should live for the current moment, providing for yourself and your community. Part of the reason for this belief is that the Norse see death as part of a cycle. It's inevitable and nothing to fear. Everyone dies and it's accepted. She walked out back in the darkness, then stood in their drive over at the side of the house. Some minutes later, she saw headlights approaching down the road. In moments, she guessed who. A squad car approached, part of a squad of one these days. Officer Hale Truitt, their town policeman, often finished his nightly patrol rounds with a drive-by way out here on his farthest loop out along the perimeter of their village. Normally she would have ducked inside, but just that quick, the lights were on her, and she would not be seen running away. So even if we stop his plan, even if we kill him, if the Beagle Commission remains active, we can't go home. David closes his eyes and nods again. Right, he says. Obvious when you think about it, but I can see why you wouldn't want to announce it. We might still be able to work something out with him, I say. The next order of business is going downstairs to see what we can use for leverage, but... But you don't think he'll settle for that, David says. What's your point? My point is that we can't stay here after G's beaten, and once we escape, the Commission will brand us as terrorists. That's how everyone will see us until we destroy the whole organization. You're leading me on, he paces. Usually that means you want me to do something, but you're not sure I'll agree, right? You don't think I'll like it. Correct. Obviously, I'm not giving him enough credit. I'll get straight to the point then. We need that bomb downstairs.